It's the Two Johnnies Podcast. Two Johnnies Podcast. Two Johnnies recording a podcast.
Hello, hello, hello.
You're welcome to the Two Johnnies Podcast, bringing you all the mayhem and news from the world of the Two Johnnies.
I'm Johnny B.
And I'm Johnny Smacks. Welcome to podcast 148. Coming to you like your mother whipping out the family photo album to show your new girlfriend pictures of you when you were on the potty as a child.
Wasn't he so cute? He lovely.
On this week's
podcast. Put the little willy on him. Is it always like that? No, go on.
It's normally bigger. On this week's podcast, as we are set to rock your TV screens on Christmas Eve, we discuss the history of Irish TV and ask what the future holds for telly.
The Workplace Relations Commission has been brought in to negotiate what the cut of the sauce money is. We're not sure at what stage those negotiations are at. However, Noel Furlong will be here with the news.
She moves in mysterious ways, but
it's all right, it's all right.
Maureen is here with her mystery topic.
And as traditional, has your house been stockpiled with tins of roses and biscuits up to the windows like sandbags in advance of Christmas? We run off the podcast with our
Yurts and Dirts
of the week.
Before commencing with proceedings, though, matters arising from last week's podcast.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Last week we were talking about space.
Ooh. A lot of correspondence re-space. I haven't got my tinfoil hat just yet. A lot of people asking.
Mike was in touch. My former hometown of Pine Bush in New York is the UFO capital of the world. Well, New York, who knew? It apparently has something to do with the magnetic forces surrounding the town. For hundreds of years, people have reported sightings. They line the streets to look for UFOs. We have a cup and saucer diner that has a giant spacecraft on its roof, and even have a UFO museum and an alien parade every year. I don't live there anymore, but in all the years growing up there, I have never once seen anything that resembles a UFO in the sky. A neighbor of my grandma's, who was a UFO hunter, has claimed to have been abducted and has seen aliens roaming the woods for years. You can do a quick Google search of my town and find loads of pictures and stories. Mike, is there much money in UFO hunting? Is it like deer hunting?
Very unlikely, lad. I don't think you can bone and roll an alien if you're going to find him. Yeah, I had a nice bit of steak, alien steak there during the week.
Bit of Martian. Also, what's in the UFO museum?
I want to know. Just cups and saucers, I'd say. Connor emailed, your intern, Neil. Of course, he's referring to Neil the intern. mentioned that there were risks involved in the first moon landing, such as not making it home. In 1999, the contingency plan in the event of the moon landing failing was revealed by accident after 30 years of secrecy. It was found by a Los Angeles Times journalist who was conducting unrelated research at their national archives. Various disaster scenarios included computer glitches, the lunar module not being able to take off from the moon, being unable to dock with the command module commanded by the big fella.
Is that Michael Collins?
I actually don't know. And even lunar dust on the astronauts' suits spontaneously combusting after making contact with oxygen in the command module. Firstly, President Nixon would phone the widows of the doomed astronauts. Secondly, he would address the nation and deliver a presidential eulogy. As there would be no hope of rescue, the decision would be made by ground control to cut all communications with the astronauts. A clergyman would then deliver a sermon like the one they would deliver when a sailor was lost at sea, commending their souls to the deepest of the deep. This would then be followed by a reciting of the Lord's Prayer. Also, about space exploration, whenever a shuttle is launched into space, Shannon Airport is on standby to be used as an emergency runway.
No way.
So basically, like, fair play to the astronauts who got selected to go on the so-called first moon landing. allegedly.
Go on.
You know what I mean? Basically, if you got into any trouble, President Nixon was saying, don't fucking call us. We'll call you. Right? Don't call us, we'll call you.
Earth is just going to ghost you.
Best of luck. Yeah, do you know what? Nixon.
Nixon was going to block you.
No, non-surprising, lad. Nixon probably left him on red on WhatsApp. Because, like, if we're going on that logic, sure, they probably had WhatsApp in 1969.
Hey, no.
Come on. Let's get into something more wholesome, like nursing.
One sec. Just A quick roundup on last week's podcast. We got an amazing amount of replies on Instagram. Half of them said, I can't believe you guys are doubting the moon landing. I suppose you're flat earthers as well. Do you want a tinfoil hat? And the other half of the correspondence was, yeah, it's definitely fake. Yeah. There's no way they landed on the moon. Yeah. So can I just go on record personally? I don't know.
Yeah.
What are you looking at me for?
Nor do I. I'm just pointing like towards like, I'm trying to find a flaw in it. That's where I'm at. Like, to be honest, before last Friday or before like last Monday's podcast, I didn't give a shit about space. Now it's just taking up all my time. People sending me conspiracy theories.
I've gone down some rabbit holes.
I'm moving on from space.
I watched a million videos.
Yeah, I'm all about on.
And there's a lot of stuff freaking me out.
When it was suggested that we do space as a topic, I was like, Jesus, I honestly don't give a shit about space. And then and then like I started seeing a couple of conspiracy theories. I said, yeah, this is up my street. Here we go.
But NASA are going to send another, they're trying to get to the moon.
Sure,
again.
They probably heard the podcast last week.
That's what I'm saying.
It's big on Spotify.
NASA, we're listening to the podcast. And they're like, you know what? We'll shut those two Johnnies up.
Yeah.
We're going back to the moon. We're going back.
I don't care how much it costs.
We're going back.
Yeah.
Anyway, nurses.
Why are sauce going to fund it?
Penny Fong is going to drive. Here we go. If he's around. On nursing. The nurses by Barry. Ooh. Said, a girl who was in college with my wife was doing her placement in A&E and a fella arrived in one day with an object shoved up somewhere it shouldn't have been. She had to assist the doctor with the procedure of removal, and as a trainee, there wasn't much she could do at the time other than provide reassurance to the dirty bastard. He was on the side of the table with nothing other than a sheet covering his bits, and every few minutes he kept lifting it up. She kept placing it back into place and tried to keep him occupied with general shy talk while the doctor had begun removing a full leek. That's L-E-E-K. Yes, the vegetable from this lad's arse. The doctor asked him to relax his muscles as he attempted to dislodge the thing. And as the leek slid out, he ejaculated.
Wow. Okay.
On the girl.
Didn't see that coming at the end.
I just Googled how big is a leak.
Yeah, fairly big, lad.
The answer said 13 inches. Ooh. So now he couldn't, it must have been a miniature one. A little Christmas one.
I don't think that.
Now you're not going to get a full one, are you? Full leak? Carrot, maybe, but.
Don't know, maybe a parsnip, I don't know. Let's step away from vegetables.
Nurses, all I'm saying is, nurses, you're a great bunch.
Nurses, you're heroes, and you're getting a raw deal, and we're standing by you. Tim messaged the pod. He said, I was listening last week to your show about the male nurses, and it reminded me of a GA club in Cork called Glanlally.
They probably pronounce it like Glanlally.
Glanlally is about 2 miles outside Cork City, and its catchment area includes the infamous mental hospital, the Madhouse in Cork by the Lee, is what Tim is calling it here. Mentioned in the song Johnny Jump Up. Now, a lot of the male nurses at the hospital were Kerry men who were hired more for their ability to physically restrain people than for their bedside manner. And when they joined up to play football with the local GA club, it created an atmosphere of underlying tension every Sunday when a team of male nurses from Kerry togged off against local opposition with a generational hostility towards Kerry football. Very soon, the team became simply known as the Mental Hospital. And the brawls at games usually continued from throwing to the long whistle at the end. One of my earliest memories as a child was going to one of these games with my father, who had just recently hung up the boots himself after a long career as a stalwart full back for the parish of Agana.
Go on, yeah.
Yeah, sorry now about that if it's wrong. Home of the legendary Bowl Ty Quill.
Bowl Teddy Quinn.
Teddy Quinn. Teddy Quill.
As the song goes.
Okay, give us a blast of it.
I won't.
And he was a hardened veteran of hand-to-hand combat against the Kerry men from the mental hospital. On this particular match day, we were entering the ground as the ball was thrown up to start the game, and upon its descent, the ball rolled away lonely and abandoned as skirmishes broke out and blows rained down all over the field. Immediately, my father ran in to join the affray and only stopped when the steward told him he was still holding my brother and I by the hand as he tore across the field.
Kids wouldn't be much use to you in a fight now.
Use him as a shield.
Nunchucks. Bowl Tidy Quill. That wasn't that the tune that they used to for the Christy Ring song.
Okay.
I think for lifting and striking and Dublin like lightning. There's no one to debate the Bowl Christy Ring.
I don't look too much into Cork GA, lad.
Bass Hunter, here we go.
Oh yeah, come on, give us a tune.
One time, Joe emailed, I have two small stories for you. A bit of double trouble, if you will. Firstly, we have, yes, Bass Hunter. One of my first jobs when I was a student in Galway was working as security at the famous Moxygen Festival. If you haven't been before, it's the exact same as Oxygen, except it's all in one random field in Galway, and it's way looser. Bass Hunter was headlining the show, and by headlining, I of course mean stumbled onto the stage almost an hour late with what seemed like no clue where he was. To make matters worse, the first thing he did was grab the mic and roar, "Good evening, England!"
Oh, no!
Cue the chorus of boos, and one lad even threw a can at him, which Bass Hunter dodged, a bit like Neo from The Matrix. He actually picked up the can, cracked it open, and downed it. So that kind of won over some people in the crowd. He didn't stay long, though. The second story concerns a topic that doesn't get enough airtime on your show. It's yourselves. Come on now, Joe, we talk about ourselves all the time. Back in February, myself and two of the lads went to Dublin for a piss-up with one of our English friends. I decided to head to redacted name of pub to show him a proper Irish pub. At the table beside us was a fine young one wearing a limited edition Two Johnnies Tipperary jersey with number 14 on the back. When the quite old barman came over to set down their drinks, he placed both hands on her shoulders and said, "Jesus, what I wouldn't give to be full back on a day like today."
Christ almighty.
He wasn't even back behind the bar when she had the jumper out and put on. You can't be doing that.
Yeah, can't be doing that.
Two hands on the back is a foul.
Yeah. I just want to know what redacted name of pub was that.
Yeah? Who's wearing...
Oh, okay.
Who's wearing two Johnny's jerseys to the pub?
I'm not. Neil has just mouthed the pub.
Go on.
And I'm not surprised. Nicknames. Michael was in touch. I have the nickname Mixer since second class. I'm 25 now. Primary school teacher started calling me Mixer as he had a friend also called Michael that worked on a building site. So he decided Mixer would be a good nickname for me. Teachers and students in secondary and college have called me Mixer, and everyone I play football with. I've often been asked what's my real name, as they thought Mixer was my birth name. That's happened to me a good few times where lads are like, "Do you know, like, whatever his name is?" And then you're like, "Yeah." And they're like, "What's his real name?" I'm like, "God, I don't know." Like,
yeah.
Remember, like, one of the lads was doing a wedding invite, and he's like, "What's his real name?" I was like, "Ooh, I don't know.
I know."
Just,
yeah.
I've always known him as such and such. Name.
I love when fellas just inherit their father's nickname.
Yeah.
It is. It's like, "Do you know Dirk?" Yeah. And then they're like talking about his grandfather. They were all Dirk, lad. Five generations of Dirk. And they haven't a clue where they got it.
Generation nicknames are the best.
Nikki said, "I know you're getting so many nicknames sent in, but I had to send in this one. When we were younger, this lad had a stutter. And at the time, his mates called him Remix. The chap grew out of the stutter, but it still comes around when he has a few drinks on him. Poor lad.
Poor lad.
Mates can be so cruel. He is still called Remix on occasion, mostly when the stutter comes out." That's bad.
That's cruel, but it's so funny.
Remix.
It's so bad and so funny.
I don't condone that, but I am laughing. Thank you,
Joey said, "A lad at my school was nicknamed Limestone. His surname was Malone, and one of the teachers said he was soft on the soccer pitch, so he started calling him Limestone Malone, because limestone is a soft rock. Was eventually shortened to just Limestone. They left out the Malone."
Geography banter.
There you go.
Rob emailed, "When I was in first year, I moved soccer teams and I was put on the under 15 team at the tender age of 12. Whilst only being 14 or 15, the other lads on the team might as well have been grown men as far as I was concerned. Anyway, our first match rolls around and we were warming up on the sideline. One of the lads shouts out of nowhere, 'Rob's only 12. I bet he has a tiny Mickey. Let's call him Small Dick.' So for about 15 minutes, the lads are only calling me Small Dick until one smart aleck goes, 'No, we should call him Tadpoles.' This would have been fine, as the rest of them were in different schools, or at least older than me, except for one lad who was drafted in as a last-minute sub, and he was in my class in school. He decided it would be great crack to tell everyone in school. Come Monday morning, I was no longer Rob or Robert, but Tadpoles for the next 6 years in secondary school. It's only the last year that I've gotten to shake it off, although I thank God every day. That small dick didn't catch on. You will not shake off a nickname like that.
On a vintage topic on the podcast, Didlow's Matty was in touch. He said about 6 years ago, my parents sold the house we lived in back in London to move back to Monaghan. The old fella asked me for a hand shifting a few bits and clearing the place before the sale went through. I ran a house removal company, so it was no hassle. No hassle. I asked my sister to bag up all the shite she wanted taken to the dump. She had about 20 bags. Anyway, she fecked off to work and the old fella and myself loaded the van for a run to the dump. It was a large Luton van with a tail lift. As we started unloading, my old fella and I were both showing off, seeing who could throw the bags the furthest. Anyway, he caught hold of a black bin bag and as he went to launch it, the bag split and the contents of the bag bounced and tumbled across the tail lift. To my surprise and shock, there was a bright pink Didlow bouncing across towards me without hesitation and with a swing of the right boot, I sent that lad flying across the dump. My old fella said, "What was that?" I shrugged my shoulder, said, "Not a clue." We carried on unloading the van and headed off. I rang the sister later and gave out. She laughs about it still to this day. My old fella doesn't have a clue. Oh, I love that.
He drop kicked the dildo.
Dildo's flying across.
Oh, here we go. Campaign rolls on. Hashtag save our chicken rolls. This emailer said, I thought I'd share a bit of nostalgia on the chicken roll campaign. Back to a glorious time for chicken rolls in Ireland, when other aspects of life probably weren't the best. I was in college in Dublin 2009, so the recession bargains were in full swing. Dented or out-of-date beer and off-licences from the recession fridge. My friend and I had a lunchtime favourite of Maguire's, which is sadly now closed at the top of Grafton Street. Sound owl Mrs. Maguire would run the show and chicken fillet rolls were only €2, which was not uncommon during the recession. What puts Maguire's ahead of the pack was that they offered three fillings with no messing. Question one, plain or spicy? Butter or mayo? Anton on it, which would be Anton on display on the counter. Nothing extra for cheese or butter or mayo as a topping.
Proper order.
God bless you, Mrs. Maguire. And Patrick said, Johnny.
Patrick said, after hearing all the good news stories of reasonably priced chicken fillet rolls on this week's podcast, I'd like to share my review of possibly the best chicken roll in Ireland, which fueled me through 5 years of college.
Oh, easy now. Big talk.
You know what I mean? This is what this podcast is about. Chicken fillet roll reviews. Real stuff. Anyway, Patrick says, the €3.25 G&L Centra chicken roll experience. 1 p.m. on a weekday, a pilgrimage of engineers can be seen migrating from the NUIG campus to G&L Centra on Newcastle Road. Upon entering the shop, the dread of the queue turns to elation with the flutters experienced when the deli comes into sight and the deli assistant asks, do you think you want a brown roll or a white roll? Swiftly followed by butter or mayo. You always answer mayo. It's always mayo. This is then followed by a sprinkling of heavyweight salads that is lettuce and tomato. Behind the glass in front of you are three choices of chicken. Plain, spicy and southern fried. You feel like a basic bitch but want a bit of fun and knowing spicy isn't for you, you go for southern fried. She asks, will I cut that in half for you? And you gently nod your head no. Your eyes water as she wraps the roll in paper and she slaps the €3.25 sticker on it. The sheer elation and hunger combined with the warmth the fresh chicken roll brings to your hands as you bop to the till is incomparable. The minutes taken to stroll back to the engineering building feel so long. Taking a seat in the building and a bite of the roll is outrageous and is the shining light of your day. However, knowing you won't experience such joy tomorrow is also a grim reminder that you are an engineering student.
Johnny, you should be reading like Mills and Boole.
100% lad. That's me.
Erotic fiction.
That was honestly, I have to admit, my juices are flowing. The spuds are boiling, man, after hearing that review of the chicken fillet roll.
Who's getting the mug, lads?
To be honest, I don't know why, but I'm drawn to Tadpole.
Oh, I like your man with the base hunter and the two Johnny's jersey story.
Yeah.
We're going to go to our Meath correspondent, Maura.
Oh, I like Tim and his story of the Kerry nurses, but I do think the Tadpoles is an excellent nickname story. So, yeah, I'm going to go with that.
You're being overruled, Johnny. Tadpoles, you can message, email podcast at thetwojohnnies.ie with your contact details, and we'll get the lovely Nose News or the Two Johnnies podcast mug sponsored by KC Sports. And they have loads of Two Johnnies merchandise on sale.
There is a brand new Nose News mug, new hoodies.
Yeah, new hoodies, new zip ups. There's a retro zip. There's all sorts of Christmas paraphernalia. And Two Johnnies woolly hats, everything. It's all there.
The Samba soccer jersey with profits going to Crumlin's Children's Hospital is there as well. It's beautiful.
Yeah, so go and check that out. And Tadpoles, congratulations. Send your email. Right, the weekly roundup, John. What's been going on in Two Johnny's land this week?
Well, John Boy.
And
we were on the den.
It was up there, definitely top five best days of my life.
Yeah, so if you don't know the den, if you're not from Ireland, it was a massive after school kind of TV show that ran for years and we loved it. And they've brought it back now on Sunday evenings. Ray Darcy, Zig Zag, Dustin, some puppets. And a man from Kildare. It's just a dream come true. But also, our minds were blown. Obviously, we can't tell you anything about backstage, but my mind is blown.
Yeah, it was class. I was buzzing. My mother rang me. I was like, John, I'm nearly crying. You know, because like, she's obviously seen me watching the den for years and years. And then to be honest, and we were wheeled in a phone box.
Yeah.
Fair hot inside it, lad.
For COVID, like, we have to be separated by the Perspex screen. But we're in the phone box and they're only about, like, I suppose they're about 2 yards away. Mm. But I can't hear a word they're saying.
No, I couldn't hear anything. They were like, I could see their mouths moving and I was trying to like mouth read, like lip read. And then we were just like, yeah, our book's on sale.
Because I've been wondering about everyone else who's gone on in the phone booth. I was like, God, you know, no one has any smart answers for Dustin. I sure can't hear him.
Yeah. It's the show so erratic, but you know what? It's so enjoyable. We were there early because we had to rehearse and stuff like that. A lot of you, yeah, people are probably like, wait a second, you rehearsed for that?
A little bit.
But we did. We had a rehearsal and then you get to see it like being rehearsed and then you get to see the show being done live. And everybody's so happy. Like if you worked on that show, you couldn't go home feeling down. I was laughing my head off, smiling the whole way home. Like I was absolutely buzzing after it.
I know Dustin divides opinions now, but me and Smax are big fans.
Oh my God.
He pushes the boat and at times he says things and you're like, oh, don't say that.
Yeah, he said so. He said a couple things in the studio and everyone was just like, ooh. And everyone was laughing. But
he means
he's
no
hilarious. Harm. He's hilarious. Like, look, it's a compliment if he's slagging it. Like, you know what I mean? He took it easy on us. I was expecting worse, to be honest.
No, honestly, because they did a couple of like links to promo the show and they did it about 3 times. Like, this is how TV goes, like checking the cameras, checking the lights, whatever. And every time he did it differently.
Yeah, and it was hilarious.
Yeah,
he was just
freestyling it like so. Yeah,
it was real enjoyable to be on the show.
And I got to talk to Zig and Zag about heavy metal.
You were loving that.
Yeah, they're big into heavy metal.
So funny. Like, I was like, oh my God, right, I'm out here. I'm off to talk about pints with Dustin.
Oh, so Zag and Zig were telling us about they had a huge hit back when we were kids and it was like, they all love me, they all love me, them girls, they all love me. And we were talking and it was like, that was a tune, you know? And he was like, how did that come about? So Simon Cowell was involved and had said to them, like, he had been involved, Mr. Blobby had a hit and a couple other things. And he's like, you guys should do a song. And they're like, yeah, we've been trying to do a song. And he said, what would you like to do? And they were like, we really like that song. I like to move it. It's like, it's such fun. Why don't we do something like that? And then Simon Cowell like rang back an hour later and was like, the guy who wrote that song is on a plane to England now. Let's do it. So they went to the studio with him and they came out with Them Girls, They All Love Me.
It's a class song. If you haven't seen it, YouTube it, it's there.
It's a banger.
And if you also want to watch a funny YouTube video, watch Bob Geldof and Dustin doing the Rat Trap. It's unbelievable. Also this week we're filming a little bit, the final bit for our Christmas Eve Two Johnny's Christmas Spectacular show that's on telly on RT2. And I obviously had to drive for a part of it on the road in a tractor.
Yes.
Tractors are hard to drive, man. A lot of knobs, a lot of gear sticks. Like, it's not just like a car. You can't just put it into first and, like, you know, drop the boot.
Boot it.
And I was driving up our road, which is normally quiet, apart from, of course, the 10 minutes we want to use it. All the neighbours are driving around and they're like, I was driving up the road And then I had to like indicate in somewhere, and there was a car behind me. I was like, Johnny, are they behind me? Am I indicating? Johnny, I'm freaking out. I was absolutely freaking out. Like, oh my God.
Oh, Mario, you'd have loved it. Like, I swear to God, all of Max's neighbours were just doing laps up and down the road. What are they at? Camera crew filming us, and the sweat beading out of Max. Like, why is the road so busy?
And it was so funny. Like, the guy directing him was like, smile, you know what I mean? Smile. I was like, you're having a laugh, like, smile. I'm driving a tractor here, man, on a road. So, come on, smile. He kept like doing this thing with his mouth, like, you know, to signal that smile. Like, I was like, I'm going to run him down now in a minute. He stays going. But an enjoyable weekend. The television show is now wrapped, as they say in Tellyland.
And Christmas Eve.
Yeah, it's going to be unbelievable on Christmas Eve. Also, news regarding the book. The book is now on sale. Come here and I tell you, to Johnny's book. It's a cracker. Stories about us, stories about life, the whole lot. It's all there. It's available now in all bookshops. And Johnny, even bigger news regards the book. It's now available on audiobook.
It's a book for your ears.
Yeah, so if you don't want to read it, you can just buy it and listen to it. It's available on Audible, Apple Books, everywhere you can get audiobooks. It's available.
Yeah, we should have done this for the first book, because podcasters writing a book, you know, an audiobook's not that much of a leap. We really should have thought of this sooner. And it's a good idea.
Obviously, the book is like, when you listen to it, it's me and Johnny talking. It's not like Robert De Niro doing our voices.
We get in Hugh Grant.
Yeah, it's legitimately me and Johnny. So you can check out the audiobook. Come here and I tell you, it's there and all, wherever people get audiobooks.
Yeah, you know, Audible, Amazon, all that crack.
Yeah, all that crack. Also, thanks a million to everyone who signed up to the Extra Podcast. That's available on Patreon for €6 a month. And if you sign up, you don't just get this week's. You can go back on the back catalogue. There's 38 episodes to catch up with. This week, I spent some time trying to explain why, if Johnny B was an animal, he'd be a meerkat.
If Johnny was an animal, what would he be?
Maybe a meerkat.
Why?
You're quite nosy. So meerkats are always like looking.
You're not nosy.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you would. You'd be inquisitive.
Inquisitive is not the same thing as being nosy.
I didn't mean nosy. I didn't mean that in a bad way. I just meant, do you know what I mean?
Oh, fuck's sake. Go on.
You'd be spying on your neighbours. No, meerkat.
I won't be spying on my neighbours.
I'm only messing. In the space of almost 60 years, we've gone from the launch of the very first Irish television station to being able to watch telly on demand in pretty much any location on any device. With that in mind and our upcoming TV Christmas special, we've decided to discuss the evolution of Irish television.
Yes, John. When did Ireland get television? It was from 1949 onwards. Parts of Ireland could get television, but they could only get BBC.
Is that why some old Irish people talk like English television presenters?
Not necessarily, no.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
some, yeah, people were just...
Do you know Terry Wogan?
Limerick.
Yeah. He doesn't talk... Like Terry Wogan doesn't talk like your one who works in Gala in
Is that Boher?
Boher, yeah.
Somewhere in the way in.
Arula, one of them places, like.
Yeah, but he was in England a long time.
Still. I know lads in America 50 years. They don't talk like Trump.
No.
Yeah.
Look, I don't think BBC is the reason people just use less slang, I guess.
We're available, BBC.
It's funny, because I was looking at The Wind That Shakes the Barley, you know that movie?
Yeah.
And when they want to get the news, they go to the cinema. And they watch, like, you know, like a cinema reel of, like, you know, a treaty has been signed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Wow.
Like,
jeez.
So then it was 1961 that RTE launched Telefiche Éireann. Isn't it amazing?
Known as RTE.
Yeah. RTE2 then in 1978. And it was, of course, known as Network 2 until 2004. And then, you know, someone's old if they call it Network 2.
Yeah.
TV3 launched in September 1998 and became Ireland's first commercial station. It's now known as Virgin One.
Yeah, it took us a while to start calling it Virgin, to be honest, Virgin Television.
I got caught out badly a couple of times. The time of the All-Ireland Talent Show, was it? Ireland's Got Talent?
Yeah.
I was doing loads of shout-out for, like, all tip people. Best of luck to this person in Ireland's Got Talent. I'm now on TV3. And not got TV3 anymore. I was like, oh, sorry.
I'm pretty sure we went on our Instagram story and we're like, we'll be on the 6 o'clock show tonight on TV3.
I'm sorry. And then there was, of course, Tina G.
Yeah.
She sounds like a rapper, but she's not. Hello, Tina G. That was 1996. But then when TV3 came out, they were like, oh man, we're getting pushed on the pecking order. So they changed her name to TG4.
TG Carr.
Yeah, to try and lock down that number four slot.
Yeah, yeah. TG Carr sounds a bit better than Tina G now. I know some old people would be like, pawn Tina G, the hurling's on Tina G.
What's wrong with Tina G?
Tina G, television of girls like that.
Yeah.
British television reception did not extend into rural Ireland until the 80s.
And they were fine.
And they survived the way grand. They survived the way grand.
The next big one then is the colour TV. This kicked off in the 1970s and the first broadcasts in colour took place in 1968, but it took years before colour transmissions were a regular event. And the Late Late Show didn't go colour until 1976.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? And the first demonstration of high definition television. I don't know by what standard this is now, because it was 1982 and it took place in Killarney.
Wow. Why Killarney?
Well, it has to be something to do with the Rose of Tralee or something. Well, I don't know.
Must be. Now, a classic staple of my childhood anyway was Airtel. The RT Teletext service for information on news, sport, farming and the weather launched in 1987.
Kids won't know.
Teletext, man. Teletext was as good as it got as regards the internet.
Yeah.
Like if you wanted... I remember, like, this is, we're talking late 90s here. Like, even maybe into the noughties a little bit. Like, Liverpool would be playing.
Yeah.
And, like, the only way to check the score was go on Teletext. And, like, I'd often would have sat down as, like, an 11 or 12 year old, sitting watching Teletext. And then eventually you'd refresh and be like, Gerrard, 8 minutes. I'd be like, yes, we've got it. You know? And then if there were Irish, if an Irish player scored, it would come up in green on Teletext.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, like, page 221 was like old, like was like soccer headlines. So you'd like 221 and then it like just you'd read articles. And yeah. There used to be like a transfer, like rumor mill. And it'd be just random lads writing into Teletext. Like they had Lonely Hearts on Teletext. They had everything on Teletext. Like,
no way.
Yeah, the weather, everything. Do you remember that, Mara?
Yeah, I do. I used to look up horse racing results on it. It was a pain because you'd have to like load up the page and you'd like it go from 1 to 100. You'd be like, oh, come on, just load, you know.
If you were looking for results and like 100 things came up, like you could be waiting 20 minutes. Oh. But that was just what you had to do back then.
I just remember that 888 was subtitles.
Yeah.
Had to do that for the granny.
Yeah. 888.
And if you visited her during Fair City, that.
Lights out.
You just sit and wait. all knew the crack.
Mad for a bit of Harry Malloy. In 1989, Sky Television launched.
I think she was more of a Bella Doyle. Yes. Okay, go on.
In 89, Sky Television launched Sky Channel, Sky News, Sky Movies and Eurosport.
Eurosport.
And in 2001, the first Sky Plus boxes go on sale. They changed the game.
No, you're not just going to skip past Eurosport like
lad,
that.
Lad, there's some fabulous kebabby on it.
Just haven't seen kebabby in an age.
That's just lads playing tig. Grown men playing tig. With jerseys on.
Explain kebabby to people who don't know it.
Wow, it's like on a volleyball court. But it's like lads just kind of catching each other, innit? That's what it is. It's like tig.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tig for grown-ups.
Is that from like Asia?
Yeah, I think it's a really popular game in either India or Pakistan. It used to be on Channel 4 as well. It's actually addictive to watch.
What, they don't have tea?
40-40 World Championships.
Yeah. Sky Plus, man, before you could record things in Skybox, it was just recording to a tape.
Yeah.
VHS.
DVD recording did come out, but I don't know anyone who's ever had it.
No.
No, yeah.
I had to be flush to have a DVD recorder.
Yeah. I didn't have one. We just went straight from VCR to Sky Plus.
I still don't have a Skybox, so if I miss it, that's it. Like, I can't go back.
Wow, you're really living in the moment. You know, as a man who is, like, on television now, you know, you can say a fair bit.
Yeah.
You should really probably invest in some recording software. But you're supposed to have the player, you can catch up.
Oh, no, I do. I use the player all the time, but yeah, I just don't.
Then it breaks down.
I don't know. It'll be working Christmas Eve. worldwide for 7 nights available. So yeah. Talking about throwing it back to television back in the day. Controversy here, lads, that I have to bring your attention to. So the Late Late Show, longest running chat show in the world, and it really has been a place where like shit has gone down on the Late Late.
Yeah.
Let me take you back. The Bishop and the Nighty. A minor furore erupt. It's a great word. In 1966, when the Bishop of Clonfert condemned the Late Late Show as immoral and Gay Byrne as a promoter of filth. The condemnation stemmed from a small item on the show in which Gay Byrne was interviewing a number of couples to see how well they knew each other. Bit of a Mr. and Mrs., I guess,
yeah,
John.
Yeah.
Byrne asked the Fox couple from Terneur what colour nightdress Mrs. Fox wore during her honeymoon. Mr. Fox implied it was transparent, and Mrs. Fox said she had not worn any nightdress. The response was received with laughter by Byrne and the studio audience, with Mrs. Fox then suggesting that her nightdress had been white from the options offered. However, the bishop either misheard or ignored this, feeling the need to protest against this filthy program and the filth which was being televised into the nation's homes. The Bishop of Clonfert sent a telegram.
Class.
And I quote, disgusted with disgraceful performance, prompting a swift RTE apology.
There you go.
Imagine, like, the national broadcaster had to apologize for that comment on our Mr. and Mrs. episode. Like,
mad how things have changed, isn't it, though?
Oh, this is...
Can you imagine if a bishop listened to this podcast? Like,
Christ.
If he heard the story about the leak at the start of the show. There isn't enough holy water in Ireland for us.
I mean, it wasn't that long later on the Late Show that a bishop was coming on who had a couple of kids. how time changes. God, Ireland's gas. Also,
no, the bishop wasn't on. His lover Annie Murphy was on. So that,
yeah. Yes. Claiming that he was the daddy.
Maura, do you want to throw in an allegedly here? Are we okay?
No. He was the father. It's all okay.
Maura will remember, but it might be, you probably might not, John, the Pádraig Flynn thing.
No, yeah, I've seen it on Reeling in the Years now. I don't remember.
Yeah, he was Ireland's EU commissioner, and he appeared in the Late. And he was talking about Tom Gilmartin and a donation of $50,000 to Fianna Fáil party. And then Flynn also talked about the difficulties in his own life. He talked about having a salary of 100,000 Irish punt back in 99.
That's some dough, like.
And he said he had to try and run 3 houses, cars and housekeepers along with a regular travel. And he said, you try it. You try it. So I guess he had a house in Brussels, he had a house in Dublin, and then in his, wherever he's from.
From Mayo, I've seen it. Mayo. It's a nice house.
Fair play, Maura.
here's a cracker, man, from yesteryear television, right? A throwback. Housewife of the Year.
Oh, there's people just they're what of the year?
Yeah. Basically, RT ran a lovely girls competition and it was first televised in 1982 with, of course, Gay Byrne hosting and the Furies and Davy Arthur performing in a 1992 spin-off show. A 1992 spin-off show was produced, right? Caller Housewives Cookery.
So this is Caller, like Caller Gas.
Yeah. Where past winners and participants showcased recipes. It was last televised in 1994 and cancelled in 1995.
You couldn't name it that now.
No. God, I wouldn't even, I'm not even going to try and be funny and attempting to put a name on it now.
Like, running, no one would make a show about running a home anyway.
Yeah. It'd be called, like, Housewife or Husband or whatever else, whatever you want to identify.
It was later rebranded as Homemaker of the Year, but it's just never caught on again. I think it's just a bit.
And look, if it was nowadays, like, someone would have to tell you.
Yeah.
Have to be sad.
Yeah,
I'm trying to make the home, you know, but you know the shed fell down and I've lost both my arms now, and I have to do the cleaning with my teeth. Like, yeah. It have to be tears if it was nowadays.
It has to be misery on TV now, I think. Yeah.
Here, talk about more misery. Reality TV.
Ah, come on now. Don't brush it all. Don't fucking
tear it all
with the one brush.
One scrub. Go on, give us a bit of reality TV, John.
The reality TV wave of popularity is most associated with Big Brother, originally a Dutch programme produced by Endemol. It has a simple formula. 9 candidates confined to a house for 100 days. The format became more voyeuristic. For instance, in the 3rd season of the German version of Big Brother, the shower door was removed so you could see contestants showering naked. I tell you, the bishop would not have that. He's not going to have that, is he?
I don't remember that.
No, it was on the German one. I don't remember it on the UK one.
This is Yeah, I was going to say, this is insane.
Yeah. That's reality. Man, you want to see everything. Warts and all. In this case, possibly.
But like did you watch Big Brother?
I watched some of the UK one, yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
I was never that gone on Big Brother now, because it was just in the house. Like, a couple of years now I watched it, right, I'd all be rowing, like roaring the ball at each other.
Man, it fair caught on.
Yeah, it did.
I remember at the time, like, people were going insane.
Yeah, but it was so simple. Like, if you done well in there, you could go in and win the prize of 100,000 for staying in the house. Like, you know, bait's working.
Just be sound or
some
what?
People had big careers. Me, yeah, just, I don't know.
It blew me away at the time. I never watched it.
RTE's first big reality television series was Treasure Island in 2001, and they selected 16 contestants from over 30,000 applicants to live in an uninhabited Tongan island.
RTE, you're so mean.
Other reality TV series included Cabin Fever in 2003. Do you remember this?
I love this.
Disaster struck 2 weeks in. The ship, which had all the contestants on it, like, crashed in Tory Island off the coast of Donegal. I remember like that being on the news. Yeah. I can remember that. And a full report on the ship sinking was genuinely released 2 years later and concluded that allowing 10 people with no nautical experience whatsoever to sail a ship into the open seas was actually a fairly bad idea. Of course, since then we've seen Celebrity Farm.
Yeah, one more, go on.
Celebrity Farm in 2003, where Amara has highlighted personalities had to spend 7 days on the farm, with everyone being voted off each evening, or turfed out, as RTE called it. It was hosted by Ear to the Ground presenter Mairead McGuinness, and the winner was George McMahon, otherwise known as Mondo from Fair City Boy.
No way, he won it.
Yeah, Mondo.
And then there was Fawlty Towers in 2008. Where 16 celebrities had to run a hotel. Can we not just let people have fun?
Yeah.
This is sailing around the ocean,
yeah,
on an inhabited island, running a farm, running a hotel. Look at the English ones. Yeah. They're having a jolly
old. Sit on your arse, get drunk, fight with someone.
Like, if Love Island had been in Ireland, you'd have to spend the day working in a chipper. It'd be set in Tremor. Oh, now over to Maura Higgins on the Walters. Curtis, he has to be up to the teddy bear's elbow to drive the buggy.
Curtis
on the bumpers, one child. That's what I mean. Why in the RTE reality TV shows had been flogged?
Oh my god, that is
next
brilliant.
Week, Maura trains a lion. That's what I mean.
Okay, moving on from reality TV.
And of course, Fade Street.
Oh yes. Yes.
That was our answer to The Hills, I guess.
Yeah, somewhere between The Hills and The OC.
Geordie Shore, no?
No, it was more like, yeah, it was more like The Hills, I think, wasn't it? Kind of more based on the girls, really, than fellas. Like, California was our answer to Geordie Shore. Yeah. We done a special on that in the Patreon. Yeah. Just go and listen to it.
Maura, did you ever watch Fade Street?
No, but I watched a bit of it recently, and it was like a throwback to when this lad, they were going to Oxygen or something, and this lad's girlfriend went inside and said she was going to leave a ticket for him at the reception, but didn't. And then he's like a fair bad actor, but he's just like,
I think you tell her just, are they actors?
Well, it's scripted reality, so, you know. Yeah. I'm sure, you know, the camera crew could have gotten, it's like, oh, you can't get into Oxygen, and, you know, but why are this TV crew filming you know, at Oxygen? It's a bit stupid, like, but.
We'd pass that on to the producers,
who we know
personally.
And that, who came out of, was it Vogue Williams came out of
yeah,
that?
Vogue yeah, Vogue Williams and Face Street, yeah.
There you go. Yeah. From 2010, in sport, here we go.
Sport takes up some amount of telly nowadays.
Wicked to God.
Mm. Like, listen, I'm happy.
Yeah.
I'll watch anything. Any sort of sport.
Man,
I don't care.
You watch EastEnders.
Yeah. Don't have a cut at EastEnders, lad. Sad news that Barbara Windsor has passed away. Peggy Mitchell. Get out of my pub.
Yeah, I haven't got a problem with that. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I love EastEnders, lad. Even when we're on tour, America, Australia, don't matter. I have to get me fixed. I have downloaded VPN blockers to watch EastEnders. I'm committed, man. Sweet ass.
I can't believe this.
Let's talk about sport. Don't completely assassinate my character now.
The first live television coverage of GAA matches by RTE were the Railway Cup hurling and football finals, St. Patrick's Day, 1962.
That is unbelievable,
isn't it?
How was the game so, like, how was it so big? Obviously, like, even in the 60s, like, it was massive, and the 50s, like, huge crowds going to games and all yeah. that. Like, and no coverage.
Yeah, but television played a much smaller role in people's lives. Like, my parents will tell you they wouldn't have had a television in their kids, like.
Wow. It's crazy.
You'd read newspapers and you'd have been out and about and people would have been calling around to each other's houses.
You know, people are saying, like, oh, that Cavan team was class of the 50s. How do they know? They'd never seen them.
Barely seen them live. They listened to the matches on the radio.
Yeah, but, you know, you want to be seeing it. Seeing is believing, Mara, i.e. the moon landing. You know what I mean? It's not.
Man, I saw Independence Day. Aliens blew up the White House.
Luckily,
Will Smith was there to chin one of them. Welcome to Earth. You know what I mean? Yeah,
you can see fake stuff. I'm with you on that. Okay. Okay.
Okay. But the GAA was initially hesitant about allowing matches to be broadcast for fear it would lower match attendances. But all it did, I guess, was...
Add to it,
really.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love this. James Last. Do you know who he is?
No, but you're going to tell me.
I am. He was from Bremer in Germany. And he wrote the song Jägerleiten, which means Hunter's Yarn. And that is the theme tune to the Sunday game. There you go. What a tune.
It is class. That is a classic tune, yeah.
Sunday game began Network 2, 1979.
Oh, unbelievable. And then, of course, we had the soccer, the Premiership. In June 2013, RT Sport confirmed that due to cost-cutting initiatives to save the station up to 1.3 million a year, it did no longer have the rights to television coverage of the Premier League. With the 2012-13 season, the final season being shown on RT Sports. So they used to have the Premiership, right?
Yeah.
So obviously people will know Match of the Day has been running for years on the BBC, shows the highlights of all the day's games. But we used to have that in Ireland, the Premiership. It was on around 7:15 on a Saturday evening.
Yeah. It was a soccer Sunday game.
Yeah, hosted by Bill Eamon, Liam Brady.
Ah.
John Giles, the boy sitting down, cutting the back off everything.
It's
English.
Ronaldo's a cod.
Yeah. That was class, though.
Oh, I used to watch that.
Must have had big viewing figures, like. It was
definitely.
Shame to see it go.
People, you would clear your schedule to watch the Premiership every weekend. But like 1.3 million a year on rights is a lot of money.
Imagine what it'd be now.
Then you have to pay Eamon Dunphy and all on top of that.
Like, yeah. You know? He's got to keep him in fresh vodka for Lily's Bordello and stuff. Yeah.
Easy.
That's probably 1.3 million.
Handy. Handy.
We love Eamon. If he wants to come on here, no problem. I want to chat to him, baby.
Oh, quiz shows are other big love of our life.
We love quiz shows.
Someday we'll have our own.
Someday we will have our own quiz show, yeah. Definitely.
Maybe,
I love it.
It might just be down the pub, but it's going to happen. Did you ever hear the expression, stop the lights?
Yeah. Well, I haven't.
Did you ever hear the expression?
Yeah, I've heard it, yeah.
Yeah, that's from the TV show Quicksilver, which ran on RTE from 1965 to 1981. That was the catchphrase of the TV show. Stop the lights.
Class.
Yeah.
I never knew that.
I know. I still say that.
Yeah. Stop the lights.
That show was over like before I was born. But winning streak. Now this is more like it.
Let's get into it, man. Were you've been to winning streak. I haven't had the pleasure of being to winning streak.
Now. I have been to the Holy Grail. It is winning streak. So my grandmother was on winning streak once and her name is May. And we had a huge sign saying, show May the money. And so May was, she's a great character. And when Mike Murphy was interviewing her, he was like, so, you know, I hear you've been traveling, May. Where were you this? Because, you know, she was a great woman for traveling. There's loads of us. We're all over the world like the O'Briens.
Yeah, yeah.
And she started going on about Cambodia and Pol Pot and all. And it got quite serious, like. And then I'd say Mike Murphy didn't know where to look, like. But you know what I mean? She was the kind of woman you wouldn't interrupt her when she was in the floor, like. Do you know what I mean? fella said to me once, I didn't talk to the wife for 3 years. I said, Chase, why not? He said, well, I didn't want to interrupt her. So we had all these signs. Chase, was a great day. Sure, for us it was like going to an All-Ireland or something. We got a minibus.
Yeah.
And of course, Dinny from Care driving the minibus, like. And sure, we stopped at all places you'd stop if you're going to a match, like, into RTE for winning streak. Great crack. On the way home then.
Did you go into the big tree for a feed of pints then?
on the way home then, it was like trying to get home to watch the Sunday game. We had to boot at home then to try and watch winning streak on the telly. She got to spin the wheel and all.
Did she? And what'd she get?
She got a car.
Okay. And a few quid?
A Yaris, I think it was.
Christ. Did she keep the car?
She did, yeah. Oh, no, she didn't. No. She
cashed it in.
Oh, yeah, cash.
Do you get to see Aunt Nova?
Not at the time, no. But like, there's a lot of grandkids.
Yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't
yeah.
begrudge her. You know what yeah. I mean? Like, she worked hard. She deserved a few pounds. Like. Do you know what I mean? If it was me, I wouldn't be giving it away.
Also, just another member.
Yeah, Mike Murphy, some hero.
Mike Murphy, man. If anybody hasn't seen that DVD, or I don't know where you get it now, but I'm Mike Murphy from RT is just class. We'll probably chat a bit. Like
Hidden Camera Show.
Yeah, he's done all sorts of shows. Like, just before we leave the quizzes, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire with Gabe Erman was fair class as well. I'm going to go and say he's better than Chris Tarrant. Chris Tarrant done the English one.
Okay.
And Gabe was perfect. He was class at it. Remember a fella from Ross Gray was on it one time?
No way.
Oh, lad, the whole town came to a standstill when he was on. Half the people wanted him to do well, the other half wanted to see him fail. You know what I mean? A typical small town, they're like, get it wrong, you fucker, get it wrong. He shortchanged me 6 years ago, get it wrong. Yeah. Small towns in Ireland. Yeah.
How did he get on?
I think he got 32,000.
Not too bad.
And yeah, it's reasonable enough. Yeah.
Yeah. Cash.
Yeah, I used to have the PlayStation game of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
It's not quite the same.
And I also played it for 2 hours on the airplane to America. They have it on the plane.
I know, yeah.
Yeah, I was getting wicked upset by it. 2 hours. I had to go to sleep in the end.
Did like, you ever win the million?
No. Oh, yeah. And the first I got was like $8,000. I was freaking out. I was
Come
like, this
on,
thing's
man.
Rigged.
Everyone gets the 16 of that, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, but the only reason I got to $8,000 was because it kept asking me the same questions. So obviously a glitch in the game. Anyway.
Travel.
Travel shows have. Look, I suppose what we done wasn't really a travel show, was it?
We were travelling,
yeah.
I love this, right? So Mike Murphy went to do Murphy's America. This is in 1978. And to hear him tell the stories, he was in America for about 6 months. And I love this now when I'm watching Louis Theroux or something. And he's always like, my time here in America is coming to an end, or whatever. And he's been like,
that's a fabulous Louis Theroux.
Thanks. He goes to like Lagos or somewhere, and then he's always like, having spent several weeks with the people of Lagos. And I'm like, we had to do Florida. We had 5 days. Louis Theroux has 7 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
The money.
To get an hour. And we have around 5 days.
We had 5 days and we had to do a gig and a podcast.
Yeah, and eating food in the back of a car, like, because it's that busy. It looks glamorous. Like, we need a budget like Louis Theroux. Like, we'd make some class shit then.
Was things cheaper back then, or did he have more of a budget, do you reckon?
He definitely had more of a budget. Like,
Maura, what do you think?
Hey, they were giving out to us for rent and spuds.
Yeah, no, Murphy's America, because that was like the marquee program to kind of launch RT2 when it came on, they had a massive budget. And also remember, they were filming on, they weren't filming digital, they were filming on film. So that was even an added expense then, because you had actual film that you had to send back to Ireland and make sure it didn't get damaged. And
God.
Yeah, like retakes were expensive. And all the crew that went with it. So like the crew for your TV
show. We'd have cost a fortune, but retakes.
Yeah, retakes wouldn't suit us.
But they probably didn't have to pay much as insurance, because like there was no health and safety back then. Looking at the list of stuff that Mike Murphy got to do was just like, oh yeah, he did rodeo, got in a buffalo bear back, and he tried to water ski on the back of 2 dolphins. So,
oh lads, Mike Murphy's, it's a stag he was on. The future of television, obviously at the moment, you know, we've got like Netflix.
Now TV. Great service.
You've got like Amazon, all these subscription based services and stuff like that. Is that the way it's going to go? Is traditional telly going to be weaned out?
I don't know. Like whenever we go to America, if we're in people's gaffs, whatever, they seem to all have apps.
Mm.
They put on the app.
Yeah, so they'd have like a Fox app.
Yeah.
And then it's just like whatever's on, and then on demand. It's just a neater kind of way of doing it. Like
they'd have like a baseball app, a basketball app on the telly, and they just...
Yeah. It's hard to know though. Like trust me, a GA app would go farewell here. Like.
There should be 100% should be a dedicated GA channel. At any moment of the day, I might want to watch an old GA
just
match.
Anything, yeah.
And
show me. Show me at, yeah.
You have the footage, lads.
Yeah. Why'd you use it?
Why are you doing it?
Yeah, 100%.
But they reckon that like it's the subscription services that upped the game. And that's why when we were kids, there was Hollywood actors and there was TV actors.
Yeah.
Like you'd never see someone from the cinema on TV. And then it changed. You had like The Sopranos, The West Wing, The Wire. these shows started coming in, and then it started crossing the line. And they say that a real game changer was 2011 when Netflix outbid HBO and AMC to get the remake of House of Cards.
Wow.
That was a massive show.
Big money, yeah.
You're big Hollywood stars in these shows.
People like. Keep saying, like, the money's in Netflix.
Is it?
Yeah, so they're saying. I don't know. What do we know about?
I want to catch Netflix and turn them upside down.
Shake them.
But, like, Netflix are reinvesting in their own stuff. At first, like, they only had other people's shows.
Yeah, now they're just nearly going to be their own channel.
I'd say, yeah, and give it a couple of years. I'd say Netflix will only have Netflix stuff.
Traditional telly, what do you reckon? More of it outsourced.
It is being more and more outsourced. More has your finger on the pulse, I guess. But look at, like, comedy and that are often being outsourced, especially.
Mm. Mm. Yeah.
Like, I think it's important that we have RTE because, you know, Netflix aren't going to spend the same amount of money producing Irish content as if only Netflix or Amazon Prime would, like, so.
Yeah, that's true.
So please pay your license fee, so.
But you know, like,
this. Dude, Mike has another show. Mike has a bigger budget. We'll be able to go to Whole Foods and eat all the spuds we want. There will be no restraints.
Documentaries, man. You won't pay RT for documentaries.
Yeah, in
see
fairness.
The documentary did go on about the famine.
I didn't see it. No, I can't. I'm trying to not watch anything that's kind of anywhere remotely sad at the moment.
This is quite sad. And then the one they did on the Irish Revolution, like.
And the game. That was class.
The game, I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's no money. Porn. There's no money would pay you to make them.
No, that's true.
It's only a state broadcaster. What do I know? But I think only a state broadcaster could make stuff like that.
Is there anything we can share with the listeners that are like telly tricks?
The biggest change I found going from podcasting or like making videos to a TV station is like, when they're like, so what are we going to do in this bit? And we're like, oh yeah, we have a sketch. And they're like, send us the script. And then, you know, we'd be like, it's kind of loose enough now. Like, there's a few kind of markers I want to hit. And then, you know, Smacks is going to put on a hat and then the door opens and, you know, it'll be magic. I'm going to riff. And they're like, no. We need the exact script. We need the timing.
Yeah.
We need
what camera angles do you want? What lights. Sort of lights?
I think it is. Yeah. If I could change one thing about television, I think I would tell commissioning editors to let the reins off a little bit. Let people who can go make content do that, because that's what Netflix do. Netflix just worry about the digital end of things, making sure that the speeds, load speeds and stuff are fast and leave that because. I remember John Cleese telling the story about how Monty Python got made. It was basically him and the other lads from Monty Python went into the BBC head of commissioning and they go, oh, we want to make a comedy show. And the head of commissioning goes, right, what's it about? And they're like, and they kind of make stuff up on the spot. And your man's just had enough of them and he goes, right, make, you know, 12 episodes. Here's your budget. Go away from me, you know. So
yeah.
Jeez.
It worked. We'd love that.
It'd be filmed in rhymes.
The funny thing is, like, if you see, like, 30 seconds of television, just know that's taken around 3 hours. Just know when you see us in the tractor, that took 4 hours. Right? What you'll see on telly will be 30 seconds. We were sitting in the cab of a tractor, no word of a lie.
Two hours.
And
it takes forever.
And then we walked out of a doorway. That took another hour. It's incredibly tedious, but it'll all be worth it Christmas Eve. It'll all be worth it, trust me.
There was people around and we said to them, yeah, we're filming if you want to watch.
Yeah.
10 minutes, they were all gone home. It's not exciting. Yeah. Like.
They were expecting car crashes, lad, and parachute jumps. They weren't going to get it.
Tractor comes in and flips and then, no.
No. Not on our show. So there you go. That's our recap on television. Hopefully we're going to keep telly alive by Two Johnnies here to save television.
Really?
Christmas Eve, 10:15, RT2.
Don't put your hopes on us.
No, please don't. Last week, it was Paddy Fong in the hot seat. Not sure what's about to happen next. But it's time for Noel Furlong. And it's time for Noel's News.
Noel's News! It's Noel's News! How long for that?
Oh, well, Noel.
No, I'm fine.
How are you? I'm afraid to ask you anything. Hey, no sign of you last week.
Of course.
What? What do you mean?
Money, cash money.
I thought we sorted you out with that. Yeah, but sure, look, we...
That's the sound of me spitting in my hand.
Yeah, you're looking for a deal.
Deal.
Didn't I give you that bag of squirrels?
Do you mind that? They've all gone to a good home.
Look.
All good squirrels go to heaven.
Okay. Okay.
Right. Michelle and Fong are sorting things out.
Are you?
Yeah, we're releasing our own line at Hyviz Vests.
No way.
Yeah.
What are they called?
Noel and Fong's Hyviz Vests.
It's catchy. It's catchy.
Yeah. No hassle written on the back.
Oh, lovely. Lovely.
Well, tell you one thing though, it's cold.
It is cold. It's gone. Jesus, it's gone cold.
It's only cold in the old people. Young people don't feel the cold. That's a fact. Do you ever see young ones going down short skirts?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Some of them don't even wear underpants.
What?
Man, you heard that.
Who said that?
It was on the news.
Was it?
Yeah. Padraig had it.
Did he?
We're able to get into new channels since John Paul moved home.
Did you?
Every channel under the sun.
My God.
I was watching cricket from India.
Oh my God.
Now, to me, any sport you can play wearing a cardigan wouldn't do it for me.
Wouldn't do it, no.
I saw a documentary about killer whales. Very disappointing. There was just some lad in Cardiff going around shooting people.
Killer whales.
I thought you were dolphins and yeah. Trout and whatnot. But this is what they call this a dodgy box.
Oh, right. You've got. Yeah. You know they're illegal, right?
Dropping the ocean at this stage now. It's, but they even have the over 18s channels.
Oh.
And I don't mean Kenny Live now.
Yeah.
I don't mean Clairburn. I mean these ones, they'd be almost.
Triple X
in the buff.
Oh, right.
I tell you, Carmel would wear more in the bat.
Oh.
If you get, should you yoke on it? It was like a mullet.
What?
Well, it was business up front and party behind. You can ring these ones on the phone.
Yeah,
I have the new phone, and so I rang her up.
Well,
hello.
Okay.
Hello.
Yeah.
And she said, "Tell me what to do to turn you on." And I said, fair play. And I said, I want you to take that big black rolling pin beside you.
I don't think that's a rolling pin.
And I want
pin.
You to get some pastry, right? Then 4 large cooking apples, 8 ounces of flour, 4 ounces of margarine, a cup of water.
Oh, my
and
God.
And I leave the rest to your imagination.
Oh, God.
I'll tell you one thing. She made shit out of the living room. Because her couch was stink after.
What's it?
And no sign of tart. The knife fell asleep in the chair.
Oh, no.
Well, I woke the next morning and my good lady wife, Carmel, looking at me and looking up at the new telly and your one going to town in the rolling pin. I'm no expert,
yeah.
But I'm fairly sure that's not how you use a rolling pin. Camera looking at me, you wanted the baps out now, and I don't mean out of the oven.
Yeah.
I don't mean a blah.
Yeah.
I couldn't find a remote. Camera about to blow a fuse. You wanted roaring. Ooh, yeah. Open the telly. Camera, the wife was staring at me.
Ooh, yeah.
And I just turned to her and said, Morning Ireland has gone to fuck. She never got rid of Granny Shoiga. She was much better. Ireland AM.
Ireland AM.
Gone to the dogs.
Ireland.
Young people don't feel the cold.
Do they not?
No. The old women wear these tights, right?
Mm.
Do you ever feel them?
No.
They're like a stab vest. They're the same as what the guards wear. Do you ever shoot an old woman in the leg?
No. No, did you?
It's pure pointless. Yeah, them tights are like chainmail.
Okay.
Right, all women's tights. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Serious stuff. Now, for something a bit lighter in the news, Adolf Hitler is back.
Oh God.
God.
In the African country of Namibia, their neighbours, they're going to hate. A man has been elected in a landslide victory of votes, and his name is Adolf Hitler Unona.
God.
That's his actual name.
That's an unfortunate name.
Well, you might be thinking, that is an unusual name for an African man.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's a local man.
Yeah.
He's a black man.
Yeah.
And Hitler hated the blacks.
Yeah.
So he was like, how did this come on? Hitler was a wicked racist.
Yeah, he was.
He wouldn't go into a dark room.
No.
Jesus Christ.
But I said, how did this man happen? How did his father... So, yeah, he told the papers that my father... probably didn't know what Adolf Hitler stood for.
My God.
And I have to feel, you know, why that name?
Yeah, could he not change?
Why not Pat Fox or something?
Like, something reasonable.
But this is whose whole first name is Adolf Hitler. It's his first name.
Oh, my God.
What kind of a lunatic is his father? Who are they electing to the council out in Namibia?
The council.
Whatever it is, you know what I mean? Now, I did go to a school with a Mussolini Dwyer.
Did you?
His mother just thought that was exotic.
Yeah.
Now, I bullied him a good bit.
Jesus.
And he changed it to Frank. And I know some people can be named after soccer players.
Yeah.
And then the player might leave the club and you are left with egg on your face.
Yeah.
Like in town here, we have Ronaldo Walsh.
Yeah.
Who you know, of course. Yeah, the chipper.
Yeah.
Zinedine Mahoney. Crash repairs. Van Basten Delaney. The lollipop man.
Van Basten.
And then there's, of course, Lewandowski McGee. Captain of the under-12s. You know? You have to be sensible.
Yeah,
yeah. Cameron, the wicker out me.
Why?
I wanted to name our first daughter John Leahy. She said it's not a girl's name. I said, you're damn right, it's not. But we compromised. I know I have a Cocker Spaniel named Nikki English.
Yeah.
But that's it. I don't understand how in the name of God this father thought it was a good idea to name him.
It's a shocking name.
It is a shocking name. Mm. Cat. Adolf Hitler. But the man said, the African Adolf Hitler, he said he has no plans for world domination, which is sound.
He's just happy enough doing the potholes with the council.
Doing the council. Yeah, I said, fair enough. Do you know what I mean? But then, you know, Elton John had no plans for world domination either. And people love him.
Yeah.
He nearly took over the whole world.
Elton John, yeah.
But you probably wouldn't know this.
Oh, God.
But Elton John, you know, he didn't write his own lyrics.
Yeah.
You heard that?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
A lot of them were written by a local balladeer, Dan Brine, before he joined the wedding band.
Somehow or another now, I smell a rat.
I'm still standing, written on day 3 of a stag. Don't let the sun go down on me.
Yeah.
Remember that was originally, of course, that was, I won't let your sun go down on me. That was about Peg Heffernan when she was a selector on the under 21 team. Had to change it. There was a goodbye Yellow Brick Road when he was working in Roadstone.
Yeah, my eardrums blew up there.
Goodbye Yellow Brick Road when he was working in Roadstone. He was making the bricks.
Yeah.
And the bricks weren't yellow, of course. He had an allergic reaction to the fumes. And then there was Rocket Man.
Yeah.
That was about Teddy Tools. You know, Teddy be souping up the cars.
Yeah.
Do you remember the time he put a spider on the hearse?
Yeah.
Just was class.
Was, yeah.
Big exhaust. Funeral procession went up the main street. He'd be bam, bam. Huh? The family thought they were in Mandela, I'd say. Of course, he had the famous song, Hold Me Close Now, Tina Darcy. Do you remember that one? Yeah. See, that was Dan's version.
Okay.
He was tipping one from Douala, and she was in the traffic car.
Mm.
But she only had a single bit. And so, hold me close now, Tina Darcy. Count the headlights on the motorway. Lay me down in the sheet of linen. Yeah, we were flat out today. But she heard it on the radio and it changes. Yeah.
She objected to it.
Yeah. So I just want to warn people, if you're going to name on a child,
yeah,
think twice.
Think twice.
Okay. Think twice before you name a child.
Celine Dion said.
Because, you know, life is like a willy. Sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down.
God almighty.
But you can't shrink from a challenge. Sometimes you go places you don't want to go. Things can get hairy.
Oh, they can.
But even when it gets hard, we make the best of it.
Noel, it's good to have you back.
Good to be back.
Oh, it's good to be on top.
Fong wasn't around.
It was, you know.
No.
No ass.
Good luck. No ass.
All right, she's back with a bang. Maureen, what's your mystery topic this week?
My topic this week is, why are all men bastards?
Oh my God.
No, it's not. It's not quite.
We do one episode without you. This is what happens. Maura, no, were you listening last week?
I thought Neil was really good. Yeah. He's got a bit wild now in the space thing. I thought Smax went, yeah, a little bit like...
too far.
You know... Yeah, I definitely think that, you know, I'd keep you away from, like, you know, the tinfoil or the turkey tinfoil you start making yourself.
I regret nothing, yeah.
I'm fairly sure Moore would have thrown in a couple of allegedly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, NASA have more important things to do than sue us. So, moving on to my actual topic. Lads, do you know what the term gaslighting means?
Yeah.
I don't. Do I want to know?
Do you want to explain it, Johnny B?
I'm happy to leave it to you. You love the definition there.
Okay. Gaslighting is a form of emotional abuse in abusive relationships. It's the act of manipulating a person by forcing them to question their own memories, thoughts, events and things happening around them. So it's happened to me. I was with this guy who we're kind of like, I mentioned, oh, what would you think about in getting engaged? And he said, you don't talk about that type of thing until you're living together for 6 months. So I was grand. Memory banked. Okay, we'll bring that up in conversation when we're living together 6 months. 6 months came around. I brought it up. He was like, I never said that, and freaked out. So I was like, you prick. Anyway, so...
But you were.
Yeah, so I handed him the P45 or whatever, but it's actually a really common thing that happens. And like, to give you more examples of it, right? So the term actually comes from a 1938 play called Gaslight, where a husband is manipulating his wife into thinking that she's losing her, you know, her sense of reality, so he can commit her to a mental institution and then he can get her inheritance. Yeah, I think it was actually made into a film starring Ingrid Bergman and somebody else. But anyway, so mad stuff. So, like, examples of it are where somebody would say to you, like, if they trivialise how you feel, it's like, oh, you're not that bad now, come on, like, and then telling you that people are talking behind your back is like, didn't want to say it, but everybody down the pub was talking about that dress you're wearing type thing. Saying things that they deny later having as said. So, like, it's things like, you know, I did. I never said that we were going to get engaged after living together 6 months, obviously.
It's good to know you don't hold a grudge, you know?
Yeah. Hiding objects from you. It's the season where, you know, everybody's uploading their bloody... I know it started and it's only going to get worse. People are uploading the pictures of, like, oh my God, he popped the question. And I'm like, I'm so happy for you at your gritted teeth. But anyway, so I am happy for them. What? Like,
just be happy for people. Come on. I am happy for Joe Rogan, you know?
Yeah.
Wait, he can get.
No, he's got 100 million on Spotify for the podcast.
And he's married, prick.
Give a fuck of being married.
Anyway, sorry. Okay, moving on to a very serious, right? So, some people would hide objects from you and then deny knowing anything about it. It's like, oh, you've lost your sunglasses again, but really they're hiding your sunglasses. And then insisting you did something when you actually didn't. It's like, oh, you made a show of yourself when you were drunk last night and you didn't actually make a show of yourself when you're drunk. You were just, like, asleep in the corner or something like that. So, want to know, have you guys ever been gaslighted? Because it can happen. It can happen not just in relationships. It can happen with bosses, you know, friends, that kind of thing. And what would you do with a friend if they're being gaslighted? I want to hear from people as well about their stories of being gaslighted, because it's a really insidious form of emotional abuse. It's somebody playing on your insecurities. And yeah, I think it's not talked about enough.
I think it's one of the worst things you can do to people is to say, hey, Smax, Neil said, you know, you have bad hair. And then like,
yeah, which would clearly be a fucking lie.
Yeah. You know, then like you would never talk to Neil again. Like, it's just, it's the worst thing you can do to someone. But we hear it nowadays a lot in the news. It's a real kind of Twitter, Facebook expression nowadays. The meaning of it has almost evolved into like,
it's just like a shit stir.
Yeah, but politicians are kind of trying to rewrite history and bring up something else to distract. You know, the meaning of gaslighting on Twitter is no longer just about like in relationships. They've kind of augmented it, but it's horrible. Like, anybody, if you ever find out that someone is trying to do that to you, there needs to be a law where you're allowed, like,
give me
a headbutt.
Sarmo.
Cavemen. I can't think of any case now where someone did it to me that I know of.
No, I can't really either.
We don't really only hang around with big sound fuckers.
Yeah, we hang around with each other. Fucking hell.
None of our mates would have the capacity for that, Mara.
Oh, no, they wouldn't be clever enough.
Yeah. Well, you're lucky because it is associated with, sorry, I'm leaning out from my microphone. My printer wasn't working, so I'm reading off the internet here. It is associated with people who gaslighted. So like probably Donald Trump is the biggest example of a gaslighter. You know, he's like, oh yeah, I'm so truthful. And it's actually been documented that you've told 20,000 lies while in office. So,
wow.
Yeah. So it's a person who gaslights other people in their lives may have a psychological disorder called narcissistic personality disorder. People with narcissistic personality disorder believe they're extremely important and that the world revolves around them. Now, it has been thrown at me that, oh, Moore, you believe the world revolves around you.
I just used to get my own way. Believe the same about me.
They're self-absorbed and don't have time or interest in others unless it serves them a purpose. They aren't empathetic and don't have the ability to interest or understand what the other person is feeling or experiencing. So Max, I don't think you have this, but because you are very empathetic. You're probably too empathetic, I think. But like you get emotional over the slightest little things, like, you know, so.
Yeah, that is. Thanks, Mara. my hard man visage has been, you've turned. No, I am quite selfish though as well when I want to be. I will admit that. I'm not a gaslighter or like that, but like I am quite selfish. But I think in the game we're in, you have to be a little bit selfish. It's like being a good striker. You have to.
If you talk to any like pro athletes, right, and they say that they have to be selfish. I actually read a very good interview with Henry Shefflin, and he was talking about, you know, he looks back on his career and that he had to mind himself so much and all that. Now that he's retired, he realizes like that, you know, the wife was picking up a lot of the work with the kids and stuff at home and all that because he kind of had to be selfish because he was trying to be the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
Mm. And like, you know, what if he's like, ah, Brian won't make training tonight now, minding the young fella.
Yeah.
And Brian Cody's just going to be like, Henry, that's no problem at all. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm sure that would have went down well.
Yeah.
I think that like what separates gaslighters from somebody maybe just being selfish in a relationship is that like gaslighters actually implement deceit. So they're actually like lying to you, but on a really subversive level. So, but yeah, it's an interesting one. I'd say there's a lot of women when they sit down and think about it, like, yeah, that fella now, he really, like, he was telling me stuff that wasn't true. It turned out in the end.
So. Or men.
I don't know if women gaslight. I don't know.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Really? Easy now. Neil is nodding furiously. Yeah. And he's like, no, I'm not.
Neil's afraid.
Look, if anybody's at this, come on now. Have you nothing better to be doing? Sorry, I take a very simple approach in life. It's like concentrate on yourself.
Yeah.
And don't I wouldn't have the time to be or the energy to be gaslighting. I barely have the energy to light the actual fire in the house. Never mind.
Plus, like from what you're saying, Mara, it seems like a lot of conflict.
Yeah, like my advice.
Wouldn't
to somebody,
do me any good.
Yeah, my advice conflict. To somebody in this situation would be like, look, if you know they're not going to change, they're just if somebody's deceitful on that level, you know, ain't nobody got the time for that. You know, to put the effort into fixing that person, and why should you? You can do better if you're, you know. That way inclined. If you actually care about the person, I'd say you can do better.
Yeah, we'll open it up if anybody has any gaslighting stories or people who are gaslighters. You can name and shame them here.
We're also, quite. I'm not trying to like annoy the Donald Trump fans because we once made a joke, and then a lot of people like said to us on Instagram,
Donald Trump is the best thing that's ever happened. And I was like, I don't care. I'm just having a bit of crack.
Yeah. We don't do politics.
He could be great. I don't know. I don't live in America.
Oh, yeah. I'm not like casting aspersions on Donald Trump. I'm just saying that he has, it's been documented, he's said 20,000 lies. Like, I'm sure other presidents have lied in office, like, but just saying Donald Trump has done it.
That's an awful lot.
Yeah.
Is that a lot?
Yeah.
Mark, can I ask you just on a recent mystery topic, have you honey trapped anyone yet?
Okay, so I have gotten requests in from several ladies to do it.
Yes.
You a bad bitch.
Maura, you are going to be running your own like little fucking left wing organisation, I'd say, in a while.
Yeah.
It's like,
I'm feeling really conflicted about doing it though. I don't know. I'm kind of chickening out of it now because I'm like,
ah, it's too late, Maura. You've sat in the pot now. You may as well shit.
No, you see, because you start with like, I'll DM your boyfriend, and then like, you know, 2 months' time, it's like, you know, I'll assassinate your boyfriend.
Yeah, I've given up my job. Now I'm a full time private detective.
Yeah. Why is that scope on your dashboard?
I've been watching too much Killing Eve. Yes. The money she has anyway.
You haven't done it.
People anyway.
Yeah. You haven't done it yet, have you?
No, I'm kind of considering postponing until the new year because I don't want to be the reason that somebody's single over Christmas. So,
well. You've said it now, so you're going to have to do it. There's listeners here wanting juicy gossip.
Okay. I will do it, but in the new year, postponing till January.
Yeah, so. We're postponing till January. So all you couples out there, have a happy Christmas, and then Maura's going to come along.
You're on thin ice.
And sort you all out in the new year. Thanks for that, Maura. Don't forget to rate, review, tell your friends about the Two Johnnies podcast. You can use the hashtag #TwoJohnniesPod. That's #2 to spread the good word. And you can also email us, podcast@thetwojohnnies.ie. Get us on Instagram @thetwojohnnies, the whole lot.
Are you laughing at? Maura, you're a wild woman. I never want to cross you. I swear to God. I'm definitely going to be buried in a shallow grave in Meath.
Right, let's close up the podcast. So with our yurts and dirts of the week. What have you got, Johnny B?
My dirt, it's quite simple, right? So I've been like, we got a cool coffee machine and then I'm buying all pods of coffee and all, right? And then do you know there's numbers on them? Yeah. And it says like intensity.
Yeah.
And so they like could be like a 4 or a strong one could be like a 12. But I don't know if that's intensity of flavor or caffeine because it does not say
that's true.
The caffeine content on any of the pods of coffee from any brand that I've seen.
Okay, so are we looking for a coffee expert to let us know?
Yeah, is there someone working in the biz who can let me in?
Yeah, let us know because I want to know as well because if I have too much caffeine, my blood pressure goes too high. And then I end up getting a migraine. So I have to be... That's why I can only have 2 coffees a day. Imagine if I had more.
I spoke to a man who professionally works in refrigeration and I asked him about the dial in my fridge. So it starts at like 0, 1, 2, 3, 4. I said, are they degrees or levels of coldness? And he said, they're levels of coldness.
Okay. Not
so
degrees.
4 is colder than 1, if you get me.
Okay.
Yes.
Right. That's interesting. No. Very good. Very good. I'm going to start with my dirt of the week. And that is I've been doing the dance with Sky, as I call it. So anybody out there who's got Sky television, listen, this isn't a cut Sky now. Well, it is, I suppose. What happens here is, right, I wanted the sports channels, right?
Right.
Around a year ago. So I rang them up. It's like, oh, I want the sports. No bother. We'll do the sports half price for 6 months. Everybody knows what happens. You keep them for 6 months. You ring them up. Oh, I'm getting rid of Sky. You to and fro on the phone. And then they're like, right, we'll keep you on the deal you're on. Right? So this happens. Every few months I get this special offer. And then I have to go back again, do the same dance, ring them up. Oh, yeah. No, I'm cancelling my whole thing. Oh, can we not? There's nothing we can do. Yeah, you can put back down to the price. Okay, yeah, no bother. The problem is now, I'd say they're busy. And with COVID and the whole lot, I'd say they've got lower staff numbers. So I rang him up.
You're trying to do the dance.
I'm doing the dance. Last month's bill went up like nearly doubled. I was like, Jesus, what's going on there? So I rang him up. I was like, listen, this isn't going to fly. Too expensive. I'm cancelling
Everton.
Yeah. So that's all.
I'm going back.
I told him I was going to get the box and throw it out through the window. I was going full mad here, and then eventually, anyway, after what seemed like an eternity on hold, I got through to someone. Done the dance, got me half price offer. Do you know how long it took? 49 minutes. I don't have time. So I'm just saying, Sky, why don't you just keep the deal on? It'll stop me having it, me and 100,000 others ringing up doing the dance all the time.
Man, you know human nature. I would say like 80% of people are not doing the dance. They're just paying the money.
Right, well,
that'd be my opinion now.
I'll always do the dance. And that's my Yurt of the Week, 49 minutes on the phone to Sky doing the dance.
But you now have half price Sky Sports.
Yeah, but still, there has to be an easier way than spending 49 minutes doing the dance, okay? What have you got, John?
Oh, my word of the week this week.
Another made up one, go on.
No, it's not. You've heard this word, but we don't use it as much anymore.
Go on.
Did you ever have the expression, lube on?
I was in a lube on.
Yeah.
Yes.
So if you like Google Translate lube on, it comes up with loop.
Okay.
So you might say like if somebody was drunk, I was in a lube on, I was in a loop. Okay. But I've been looking up some dictionaries and they say that a lube on can be something twisted. And
I was twisted.
Yeah. Or like figuratively speaking, it would be failure to do something right. Or if you were saying he's making a lube on of that, it's like a failure to repair something or to fix something.
That's your word of the week, lube on.
I do like lube on. L-U father, B-A father, N.
Now let's go and get a lube on.
Lube on.
I'm going to finish with a Yurt of the Week, right? Since the 1st of December, I've decided I'm going to wake up to Christmas songs. So no matter what time I wake up at, my alarm goes off and I go straight to Spotify. Christmas Crackers playlist. Boom. Play a Christmas song. It's been a different one every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Since the 1st of December.
Yeah, and he's getting a small bit pissed off now.
Your missus.
Yeah, simply having a wonderful Christmas time at 7 o'clock this morning was not the way she wanted to wake up. But I'm telling you, it wins her over eventually and then you start the day because Christmas songs are happy.
Yeah.
And like everybody's in, it just puts me in a good humour. And I love Christmas. So I'm feeling very Christmassy this year, even in spite of the year we've had. Christmas is the cloud with the silver line.
So for how long do you listen to Christmas songs each morning?
So I listen to one in bed and I don't go to bed. I keep the covers up, I keep warm and I listen to one. And then I'll take the phone with me and I'll walk into the bathroom and have one of them speakers that the phone will sync up.
Yeah.
And then I'll be brushing the teeth and whatever I have to do. And I might consume 3 or 4 Christmas songs. You never know.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a good start to the day. I recommend it. People out there, listeners, try it.
Okay.
You'll have a great start to the day. Okay. There you go. What a mad one.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yes. So from me, Johnny Smacks.
From me, Johnny B.
From me, Maura.
We'll be back next week, same time, same channel. Extra Pod Thursday for all you mad patrons out there. Go on, good luck.
Back.